Good afternoon, and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. I'm very pleased to be joined this afternoon by Bob, who is here to help us continue to explore the 2018 Bridge Walk campaign. Welcome, Bob.
Hey, Jen.
Hey, thanks for being with us.
My pleasure.
So we launched last week, as you very well know, and actually I was thinking when we did that launch, I thought, oh gosh, it would be fun to have everyone on this interview who was a part of that. So I'll just briefly say I could really spend the whole 10 minutes going into that. That would be a whole topic in itself. But thank you so much for all you did for the campaign and continue to do, because it was, I think as we were saying, I mean, it just turned out to be so much fun and way more involved than we could have ever imagined. So it was a great pleasure doing it. So thank you for all you did on that.
Yeah, and back at you. And I was actually going through the site today. It was great to have a week kind of break from not looking at it, because seeing it with fresh eyes, just seeing all the beautiful faces from Cantaloma come and looking back at you throughout the campaign site was just really fun and really inspiring.
It is really fun, because I project you probably had the same experience I did, which is you actually got to see the pictures and not just, okay, now but that one's going to link to that, and then where's that going to...
Exactly.
Yeah. So that's exactly what we thought would be fun to explore this afternoon, is to actually take folks on a tour of the site. And so as we're getting started here, I'm going to invite anyone who can get to a device, whether you're on your phone listening to the call and you can navigate on the web on your phone, or if you have an iPad or a computer close by and you can hop on the web, I'd encourage you to start heading in that direction, because we're actually going to walk through the site. And we're well aware that there will be lots and lots of folks on the call who aren't able to do that. But what we're going to do is we're going to post this Good News Update on the main website, which we'll tell you about in a minute, on our Living Compassion website, as another resource for folks to click on. Because one of the things that we've realized in the site is that we now know it, you know, backwards and forwards, but there's a lot of functionality that isn't necessarily intuitive, and we don't want people to miss things. So that's what we intend to do, is to take people on a little tour of the site. So I guess first thing, Bob, would be how we get there. How do I find that site?
Yeah, so probably the most direct way is just go to livingcompassion.org/Africa.
Okay.
And so that's our basic, that's our kind of landing point for all the Africa project. And and once you're there, there's a menu called Get Involved.
Mm-hmm.
And under that is one called Follow Their Lead.
I'm right there. Yep, Get Involved.
Great.
If I put my cursor over Get Involved, one of the drop-downs is Follow Their Lead. Yep.
Right. And so once on your page, this page kind of lays out sort of the kind of the inspiration for the program and a lot of the details about it, which we would invite you to kind of read through, because it all is really fun. But for right now, we want to kind of come in the middle of that page where you kind of, there's sort of a tan background, and one of the headers there is called the logistics. And there are some links there. There's one called Visit the Celebrate Courage, Generosity, and Family website. And that'll, if you click on that, that's going to get you directly to the main campaign page.
Okay, great. And so all of this is under, in the middle of that page you're describing, it says Celebrate Courage, Generosity, and Family. And then there are several sections underneath that. One of them is the logistics. And as you say, that link to Celebrate Courage, Generosity, and Family, I'm clicking it right now, and it's taking me to the campaign website. Yep, there it is.
Great. Right, and so this is sort of like, you know, kind of like the landing page for the whole campaign. Mm-hmm. And there's this great, great photo of Teresa mm-hmm. and Josephine. And so there's some buttons there, Become a Fundraiser, Donate Now. There's also that bar that kind of shows where we are along with our goal for the year.
Which is worth taking just a very quick note there, that
sure.
We have a $100,000 goal, and it's at $11,165. I think that's really exciting.
Yeah, it feels like we're just getting started, and we already have the wind behind our backs.
Exactly, yep.
As you kind of go down, there's an About the Campaign, About the Campaign section. It kind of tells you the story of the project. I don't know if you want to say anything about that, Jen, but
I'm realizing, Bob, you and I could talk for really 2 hours on this, so I'm holding back.
Okay.
But I think the point worth underlining is, and I think I did say this actually last week, if you can, just carve out some time, because it's a beautiful, there's so many beautiful stories on the site, and this is the first one about the campaign. So, yeah, I think that's all I'll say there.
Great. And then below that, there's a section where there are 9 images, each with a little button with a kind of a label below it, and then a learn more button. And so what we've done here is that we've broken down the Africa Project into its kind of 9 separate components.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've created a team, as we kind of like the kind of lingo for this fundraising website.
Okay.
It's a team you'll be joining. And so there's like a team associated with each of these parts of the project, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so like if you look at the first one, Hot Fires, you know, that's about, you know, raising money for the charcoal that's being used to cook all the meals that they eat all year long.
Mm-hmm.
There are ones about stipends for girls' education, for just the basic food and shima that's eaten there, for some of the things I think that really, you know, just like peanuts and beans
and
eggs that were never part of their lives before that are now part of what the project provides. There are 9 teams, and so what we're hoping people will do is they'll choose at least one team that they want to fundraise with, right? And so do you have one you'd like to choose, Jen, to look at?
Don't ask me to do that, Bob. I can't play favorite. You choose one.
Okay. So I'll choose the one I've already chosen, which is Heart and Soul, right?
Okay,
and so
great.
Heart and Soul is sort of the team, as you'll see once we get to the page. It's basically the people who do everything for the project on the ground in Cantalamba, right?
Mm-hmm.
And supporting that.
You're clicking on that Learn More tab under Heart and Soul.
Exactly.
Right. Okay.
So
okay.
I click on that Learn More, and it's going to take me to what's called the team page, right?
Okay.
And and there's in the middle section, there's what's called the story, and that is, you know, pictures and some of the basics about what that group, you know, of people are doing, right? So, you know, there are descriptions of like, at least 10 or 11, maybe more people who are part of a much bigger, you know, project there, and all the different things they do in support of the project.
Yep, exactly. And then if I was moved to join that team, then what happens?
Right. So on any of these 9 team pages are going to all be sort of formatted the same, right? So in the middle, there's going to be pictures and description of the team. And then on the left, there's going to be 2 buttons, one which is join team and one which is donate. Now, we love for people to donate, right? And so people can certainly donate, click it, and make a donation right to the team. And what we're also hoping people will do is, as people have done for a long time with our Bridgewalk campaigns, right, Jen, that they've had their own fundraisers, right? And in the past, it's people like just, you know, writing a letter or emailing or telling people that they're doing this and then collecting donations here and there and basically having their own fundraisers for the Africa Vulnerable Children Project. And yet this year, what the opportunity is to use this platform that if I click Join Team, I can actually create my own online fundraiser for the people I want to do that with, right?
Yeah.
And so what someone would do is they click Join Team, and we'll kind of get into the specifics of it, but basically that will allow them to have their own sort of page on the web where they're doing their fundraising, right? So they can email someone about that campaign. They can, if they have a Facebook or Twitter account, they can post it there. And then there's, you know, there's all these sort of tools that they can use.
Yes, exactly. And that, I think, really coupled with what you were saying is that certainly donate, please. Absolutely. If you feel moved to donate, you know, the team on the ground is grateful for all of it. And I think one of the reasons we really put an investment in going this direction, and Ashwini alluded to this last week, is that it's almost like life is asking all of us to up our game. And so one way to do that is, okay, well, I'm going to actually, you know, make a team myself to assist whichever team I want to, in this case, the stipends for the cooperative. And that we're hoping that this platform, and especially those social media links and the email links and all that, will make it really easy for people to do that with their folks.
Yeah, yeah. And so for each team, there's actually, you'll see this little bar on all these pages underneath the donate button, which says this is how much is raised and this is what our goal is. And so on this page, the goal is $13,400. And so that's the goal for this team that we're trying to fundraise against.
Yep, which I think is so fun. I don't know, maybe it's just me, but, you know, I've talked all the time. I love my Fitbit, right? I love when things are tangible like that. And it's such a win-win because what does that Fitbit do? Well, it gets me moving. It keeps me moving. And it keeps me moving when the voices don't want me to move, not just when I feel. So I'm not moving just when I feel like moving. I'm moving all the time. And so I feel like this, having it tangible in this way is like, right, okay, maybe sometimes I'm inspired, but even when I'm not, that's still there. So it reminds me, right, yeah. I want to participate. So I just love
it. And when I look at the goal numbers for each of these teams, I think, oh, that's doable.
Exactly.
You know, it's just kind of inspirational. It's like, yeah, we can do that.
Exactly. We can do that. I mean, shoot, God, we do much harder things than that. Yeah.
So, and I know that we're probably over time, so we can kind of look at how much
we
want to cover, Jen.
Yeah, I do want to. Let's take a few extra minutes to run through some of the main points.
So if I want to, as I have, you know, if I want to create a fundraiser for this team, I would click join team. And if I've never done this before, I'm going to be invited to basically create an account on this platform, right?
Yep.
And then there's a whole process to go through that, but I think some of the things that we'd like people to know in terms of the privileged environment that we all kind of operate in the Sangha, you know, is that what we're encouraging people to do is that when you set up your account to do this, to do it with your first name and your last initial, so that in the places where other people might be, you know, like on the team pages, there's like these what they call activity boards or something that are at the bottom where they kind of show what's going on with the campaign. And it'll say, you know, Bob K started a fundraiser rather than Bob, whatever my last name is, started a fundraiser.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. And again, please take a moment as Sangha to read through the Follow Their Lead website page that we alluded to at the beginning of the recording, because that really lays it all out, the whys and the hows and like that. And we're not going to ask you to explain to your, you know, maybe your daughter is really inspired to assist you with this, and she's not part of the Sangha. Well, you don't have to put her through the paces of those particular guidelines we're asking direct Sangha to follow. And so if you read through that, you'll get a sense of that and what we're asking folks to do. I think it'll make sense to people when they go through it.
Yeah.
I would just say that joining, when I did mine, and join the team, it was a very straightforward process. You know, I'm not a terribly techie person, and it took me, I don't know, 3 or 4 minutes. So there's a place where it gives you the option to upload a photo. You don't have to do that. We've actually put a photo in place for you. So when you click on any of the when you click on join a team, actually, it will take you to a page that has an adorable photo of a little girl. That's taken the place of you needing to upload an individual photo. You can, if you want to override that, but you certainly don't need to. So it can be quite a straightforward process.
Yeah, exactly. And so after you kind of get through the kind of the account creation portion of the process, you'll be asked to create your own fundraising team page, right, which is what you were just describing. And so you'll choose, like, well, this is how much I want to fundraise for this. You know, so if it's whatever it is, $100, $200, whatever it is, that's your goal toward the kind of bigger goal for that team. And and then once you kind of make it through that process, you'll have your own page that then you'll have a link that you can share with your friends and family, right?
Yeah.
And it's even fun that, like, so the URL for the campaign starts with africaproject.livingcompassion.org, and then you get to have a slash whatever you want it to be, right?
Mm.
So if mine was, and I wouldn't do this because I know there are the people in my town, but, like, I want it to be africaproject.livingcompassion.org/SF fundraisers, I could do that,
right?
And then that becomes a really easy thing that I can send out to other people.
Oh, I love it. I love it. And then what's so fun about that is that my page is going to have one of these fundraising bars. In fact, my page does have one of those fundraising bars, and in fact, people have already donated. So, you know, there it is. Those numbers are already right on my little bar building, and it's so fun. One tip I will say is that I've noticed that when I send my particular page to people, it's not intuitively obvious to them how – well, okay, so I see your one page, but I can't see anything about the whole campaign. And so what I've been doing is giving people the information that logo up in the top left-hand corner of every single page on the campaign site is our Living Compassion logo, and that's actually a link. And if you click on that on any of the pages, it takes you right back to the landing page of the whole site where you started us, the picture of Josephine and Teresa. Another way to get there is that on every team page, there's a little thumbnail of Teresa and Josephine on the left-hand side. And if you click on that, same thing, it takes you back to the landing page. So the landing page is kind of home base, and there's from every page, there's a way to get there.
Yeah. And then so once I've created a fundraiser, I have my own fundraiser page, and that it has its own sort of world, right? So, you know, my name and the first initial of my last name are there. It has that sort of, this is my goal, and there's a donate button so that anybody I send to this page will then be able to just to make a donation, and the system will know that you're making it for my fundraiser for this team, right?
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah. And so other things that are really fun about this page is that so you can click, you know, any of these least share links there at the top. There's a Facebook share link, a Twitter, and an email. And if you click any of those, like the Facebook one, it's obviously a little bit more advanced. So then it puts in sort of like an image of the page with maybe the headline, you know, is like perhaps like a Facebook post for you. And then you can write in whatever you want to write in. And then with Twitter, it creates a link also back to this fundraiser page, and the email does the same thing. So that those becomes the way that you can then use the system to fundraise with your friends and family.
And all pre-populated. So, you know, if you're just really someone who's super busy and you don't have a lot of time, just hit the link and go. But it's also all customizable. I think that's the word. If you hit the Twitter link and you want to say what you want to say, you can erase all that and just put in whatever you want to say about it. So it's
and
really beautiful.
Go ahead. Yeah, and no, so a couple of things I just wanted to hit because I think we're way over at this point.
Yeah.
There is, like, once you're on your own fundraiser page and you're logged in, there's a manage link at the top. So if you click that, you can also expand on the story piece. You could talk about, you know, there and, like, why you want to support this project. And then also down below on the fundraiser page, there's like a story section. If you click updates, you can also post comments on that page, right? So if I want to tell the group of people that I'm fundraising with, you know, we've raised 50% of our goal, I'm really excited, I can just write that in there.
Perfect. The other thing I would say is don't miss visiting the donation page. And then once you visit the donation page, you get moved to the thank you page. Those are two of, I think, the cutest photos I've ever seen in my life. Really worth visiting. It's worth making a donation just for that.
Exactly. And then just to kind of come back to the privilege environment, you know, when we do click the donate button, there is an option to donate anonymously. And that's something that we're encouraging Sangha to do, right? Like, we'll know in terms of, like, tax receipt purposes, you know, who donated. But in terms of what's posted publicly, you can just say, you know, donated anonymously, and that's where it'll show up. Like, $50 was just given anonymously.
And can I tell you, in kind of loosely related to that, one of my very favorite things, excuse me, and one of the big reasons that this platform, we chose this platform, was you can send an e-card. I absolutely love that functionality. So on the, I'm going to just quickly describe it because you're right, we are over, but hit donate, and then you'll see at the top you're making a difference, and then you can put in whatever amount you want to put in, and there's a little box underneath where it says your donation and how much your donation is going to be that says dedicate my donation in honor or in memory of someone. When you click on that box, it opens a field that wasn't already on the donation page, and it asks for who is it in honor of, that person's email address, the person's name. You can write in any message you want to write in, and there are four choices of photographs from Camp Alomba that you can choose for the e-card that are just fabulous photos. And so, I mean, it's endless how we can use this through Thanksgiving, through holiday giving, you know, end of the tax year. And so for people to really know that that functionality is there and to, you know, maybe consider using it as part of their holiday plans, that's another really fabulous piece.
Yeah, yeah, and it's great because you can type in their email address and then a note to the person that you're donating in honor of, and it just gets sent right away. So that's fantastic.
And then this last little piece on the donation page, there is the option to click a box that says, I'd like to cover the fees associated with my donation. You know, the merchant accounts that run all of these, I think we had an education on this for the whole organization recently, but, you know, they always charge something. And so if people feel moved to add, though, whatever it is, you know, depending on your donation, it will show you exactly what it is that you're adding if you click that box. But that's an option as well.
Yeah. That's great.
So, Bob, wow, we really could go on and on, but I think you're absolutely
yeah,
right.
We have.
We need to move on. But thank you so much for being with us. And, you know, we're going to really, really be focused on this together for the next, you know, for the entire time of the campaign through the middle of January. So I think it's going to be a fun adventure with the whole Sangha. So very likely we'll be checking back in other forums. So thank you so much for being with us this afternoon.
Thank you, Jen. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye. And Michael, I'll turn it over to you. Sherry is not feeling great. And so, as you know, Ashwini will be facilitating the show. Thank you so much for your patience and giving us the extra time to walk through the site.
Sure. Sure. A real pleasure.
You and it's fun, isn't it? Yeah.
It's great. It's great.
Yeah. It's like a whole new world back there in this site. So very exciting.
Yes, indeed. Yes. Yes.
All right. Thanks, Michael. Have a great show.
Great. Thank you, Jen. And thank you, Bob. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air. It's my pleasure to be joined tonight by Ashwini. Welcome, Ashwini.
Hey, Michael.
How are you?
Good. I don't know whether it's because I've played around with that platform so much or because it was just an experience of listening to the energy and excitement of Jen and Bob walking through that. I could imagine myself participating in the campaign somehow. You know, really excited to walk through these steps. I've actually never had that experience before. You know, even if you've never been on the site, it's just incredible to have such a tangible experience of participation by just listening.
Yes, yes, exactly. I was following along online while they were doing it, and I got the email last week, and I had gone to the webpage, and it was all beautiful, and I kind of didn't know where to start. So today's good news was just perfect because I could see where to go and what to do and how to participate. It's wonderful.
Mm-hmm. And I love that about the process of practice, which is here's the invitation and here are the steps. And then we get to follow the steps and have the experience.
Yes, yes. Yeah, exactly. One thing I love about practice is that I get step-by-step-by-step instructions on how to get from where I am to where I'm trying to get to. And it's just incredibly supportive.
Yeah, it is. It is exactly that. It's incredibly supported. And we learn together, right? No mistakes, watch your process, participate,
yes.
Show up.
Yes, exactly.
I believe you have some announcements for us, Michael.
Lots
of stuff going on in practice.
There's a lot of stuff going on. Today is the last day to sign up for Reflective Listening Buddies, a powerful support for conscious, compassionate awareness that requires participants to show up to practice being present on a weekly basis. And a new quarter begins October 15th.
Yes, we extended the registration just to make sure all of our diehard RLB folks get to register.
Great. Also beginning October 15th, a six-week conference call retreat in recording and listening training will teach six key skills of the recording and listening practice. We think you will find these calls to be fun, experiential, and transformative.
And you know, Michael, we're constantly evolving that curriculum based on feedback, so the class is never the same, just to know that, you know. It keeps changing over time.
Good. So even if I did it a year ago or 2 years ago, there's always something new there.
Absolutely. And you're a new person.
Yes. Yes. And back by popular demand, an email class with Sherry on death and dying will provide a framework to bring into conscious, compassionate awareness the unexamined beliefs and assumptions that keep us from being fully alive now. The class begins October 26th.
Yeah, it's going to be a fabulous workshop.
Yes.
I think possibly because it's such an unexamined topic for a lot of us, right?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And I like how that was phrased, the looking at what keeps us from being alive now while we are
That's
alive.
That's right. Yeah.
Yes. A new group coaching opportunity, Compassionate Scheduling with the Mentor, will look at creating a schedule based in kindness that allows us to take good care of ourselves as we live our daily lives. The coaching begins October 30th. Sherry will be conducting a workshop on recording and listening at Stanford University in the San Francisco Bay Area on November 7th. The event is free and is part of the campus Contemplation by Design Summit. Sherry will talk about using this great tool to focus attention to live authentically.
And I believe, Michael, so that there is a registration. Even though the event is free, they're trying to make sure everyone registers because it's a large event.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. And for these and other opportunities, visit livingcompassion.org. And if you'd like to talk with Ashwini today, you can press *6 and then 1 to make a show and get in the queue. And a conversation that's about 5 minutes long and focused on one topic is great. Okay, Ashwini, you ready?
Ready.
Okay. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, I think it might be me. This is Aaron.
Hi, Aaron.
Wow. All right. I'm trying to gather myself for what that's worth. Yeah, I'm in Pacific Northwest. First-time caller. Is the wind too much, or is it okay? I'm outside.
I think I can hear you great, Aaron. It was a little staticky at the beginning, but...
Okay. I don't have a very formulated question because I was kind of following my lead from listening to a lot of podcasts and how people just kind of spontaneously call in. But I am trying to learn how to just kind of get started with the practice. I've only been meditating seriously for about 3 weeks now. And I've dabbled in the recording and listening. I'm very eager to do an event, so I've emailed back and forth a little bit. But I won't be able to attend a retreat probably until sometime in the new year. So, yeah, I'm not really sure what to say beyond that.
Uh-huh. Well, it's always so exciting to find something that your heart responds to and then look at how you are drawn to deepen your relationship with it. It's like, you know, like beginning any other relationship. Erin, I am hearing a lot of static. Is it possible for you to put yourself on mute while I talk and then
yourself back? Yeah, sorry about that. Okay.
So as I was saying, it's like you're starting a new relationship, and so part of what you do is try to explore as many different ways as you can engage with practice. We always recommend that folks come on retreat, especially there's nothing wrong with you, because it gives someone a really foundational way to engage with the practice. It gives you a framework. It gives you the language, the vocabulary, some of the ways we talk about things. And I heard you say that you can't come on retreat, but I believe you're looking at attending a recording and listening class, and that's a fabulous introduction to some of the skills of this practice that will assist you to look at anything that you want to look at. That or the email class that's coming up, or as you've been doing, listening to the radio show, really allows you to immerse yourself in how we talk about things and what we're doing in an awareness practice.
Right. Yeah, I would be very eager to do the recording and listening class. I actually got an email from Sherry today, which was a wonderful surprise. But she said that it suggested that the retreat is first, and so wasn't sure where to go with that.
Yeah, well, you could respond to her and let her know that that's the case, and then she might be able to offer you another step. But I think the tool of recording and listening, what is interesting about it is that it allows you to facilitate yourself in a way that you don't have to know a lot of the language of the practice in order to be able, or the frameworks of the practice in order to be able to start practicing or helping yourself or supporting yourself in this practice of awareness. So it's a great place to start. And again, of course, please write back to Sherry and see what she has to offer you on top of that.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds good.
And Erin, I would stay close to the radio show. There's a year-long retreat that you could still sign up for if you're interested, because it gives you a daily focus and a daily way to be with the Sangha and immerse yourself in the process. We have this saying that in Zen, right, that you're wandering in a mist, and after a long time you realize that you're wet. That there's a way in which by osmosis you'll start to grasp things about what awareness practice is and what are we learning to do and why are we learning to pay attention and what's meditation all about. And there's a way in which practice will teach you as you expose yourself to it.
Right. I actually feel like intellectually I understand and I know the terms from just having listened to so much and reading her books.
Go ahead.
It's the practice that I'm coming up against as far as the meditation. It's just,
correct.
I'm very uncomfortable just sitting, and my breath is very tight, and so there's kind of a sense of torturing myself even in the act of trying to focus on my breath. So that's challenging.
Is that your question?
That just came up. The question I had just thought of before that was intellectual, and it was just about whether there's any positive conditioning, or do we consider all conditioning negative?
Well, I guess let's answer the first question that came up, right, around meditation. Because, again, one of the things you might do is to get this download off of the Keep It Simple website called The Secret. The Secret is that there are no secrets, where Sherry actually talks you through how to meditate. And one of the most important things she says about meditation is that there is no goal in meditation. What we're doing in meditation is to see through all of the karmic conditioning that and the socialization that we were put through. So we're not going for a specific experience with meditation as much as we're training ourselves to pay attention to whatever processes that arise when we sit. We're only noticing that. And so the important part about awareness practice, right, is to pay attention and notice what's going on for you. So you're noticing, interestingly, that you have a tightness of the breath. And then it's like, okay, well, that's interesting information. How do I know that? What are the sensations of that? Is there a position that I can alter or shift slightly in order for me not to have that experience? And that's all I'm paying. That's what I'm actually sitting for, is the ability to watch that process of knowing, that process of assessment, that process of judgment. Like, how does that happen, right? That would be the attitude of mind that I would, and Sherry would recommend we take into meditation. And the other part of that DVD, which is so beautiful, or video stream now, that's so beautiful, is nothing is more important than compassion, right? So yes, it feels tight. Can I be with this tightness with the attitude not of punishment or torture? Like, what is torturing me? How can I be with this human being who's sitting on the cushion with an attitude of compassion? And that's part of what we learn in the recording and listening practice, which is to notice how the extent to which the conversation in the head is hateful. It's self-hating. It's judgmental. It's critical. It produces that experience of suffering. And so where can we have the attention that brings compassion and kindness and unconditional love to the human being going through this human experience?
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're practicing in every single moment. Every time we sit on the cushion, every time we pick up the recorder, every time we come on retreat, every time we go on a walk, right? Start to pay attention to that conversation in the mind that is telling you what your experience is, and noticing how your experience is created by that conversation, and how can you redirect the attention to something other than that.
Okay. I can think of sort of responses and quasi-rebuttals, which I don't want to necessarily engage in, but based on my own experience. Well, but I think what's probably best is that I listen back to what you've just said, and then I sit with this for a week or two more practice.
Yes, pay attention. Yes. Because, again, to me, that quasi-rebuttal, based on my experience, that's exactly what happens, right? There's an input, it gets run through whatever you know, and then there is this voicing of what you know. And so the interesting part is not about being right or refuting or holding your position as much as to know what that is. Why does that happen? What does that give you? Where is your attention when you do that? How are you aware of what you're aware of? It's an endlessly fascinating and recursive process.
Okay. Well, I appreciate that. I'll do some more experimentation and watching, observing.
Yes, absolutely. Let us know. Call back so that you can talk to Sherry directly. And that's when the recorder becomes really, really helpful, right? Because you can record your experience. You can record what you're noticing. You can record the process of the rebuttal. And you'll start to see patterns emerge that will assist in expanding awareness, which is what we're doing in awareness practice.
Right. Okay. I appreciate it. I feel like I have a good next step. So thank you very much.
Excellent. Look forward to talking to you again.
You too. Thanks to you. Thanks to Michael. And take care, everybody.
Take care, Aaron.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Aaron. And Ashwini, what I noticed in that is really just the power of curiosity and showing up and participating in that way. It's lovely.
It is indeed, and it's almost impossible to take ourselves back to that place of the first encounters, right?
Yes, exactly.
And it's so my experience that it's almost like when someone is new to practice, it's, you have to begin somewhere, because otherwise all of those years of insights having to pour into that experience of the moment, it's just an interesting experience. Where can I start? And to know that everybody starts somewhere, and that all of the insights in the world being told to you will not be useful in the least, because you have to have your own experience.
Yes. I had an image drop in when you were talking of Sangha, walking together. I think maybe you told us was the meaning of that, and I just pictured another person joining us, walking together.
Yes.
And that's what we are. It's very beautiful.
Yes.
Yeah. And we have another caller, Ashwini.
Great.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hi. This is Bree in San Francisco.
Hi, Bree.
Hi, Bree.
Hello. Yeah, my question is about, or rather what I'm here to talk about, is projection. I'm very familiar with projection, both positive and negative projections. And what's interesting, too, is while I was was waiting and thinking about this, I started to write some things down and got a lot of insight into it right now. And very recently, I met someone who is, it's a woman who is the front desk person for an alternative health and healing center.
Uh-huh.
And something about her, which became more clear over time, because I've been there a few times now, immediately grabbed me. And I find that I would think about this a lot, because obviously something was going on, is going on for me. And when I put myself in the queue, I was at first thinking the question was, like, how to be with this situation, this projection, that still is my question, so to speak. And then, like I said, I got some insights just waiting. So I thought I would say, well, the qualities that strike me about her. She's at least 30 years younger than I am. There is a sweetness about this woman. There's a softness. I even want to say my projection is an innocence. Another word I would probably use is openness. And as I thought about it, in comparison, I was thinking for myself, words like world-weary, cautious, in dealing with, like, new, especially new business-like situations. Again,
so Bree, let me make sure I'm following you. That what you projected onto her is innocence, sweetness, and what you were aware of is how contrasting that is to what you normally hear about yourself, which is word weary, right?
Well, in comparison to her is what how I was identifying myself.
Uh huh. And I would project that what you you said you have some comprehension around projection.
Yes,
so
yes.
What you are noticing is that whether or not this woman is sweet or innocent or anything else, what you experience in that interaction is the sweetness and the innocence in you, which is surprising. That's what projection is, right? Of all of the words that could drop in for you to describe your experience in the moment, those were the words. Whether she is any of those things or not, you actually don't know. all you do, and it's actually irrelevant, because what projection does is give us so much information about what's going on for us. And so there's an interesting place that those are that's the experience that you're having of yourself.
Oh, this is not what I was expecting. I'm so glad I got on. No, and
right?
In fact, when you said, well, what you're projecting, and my voice immediately was saying to you in my head, oh, no, I know she's sweet and soft and innocent.
Yeah, but you don't know that you are, right? That you
have to be sweet and soft and innocent.
Because this is what happens. This is really what...
If anything, I was saying what I was not. I was so opposite that.
Because you are listening to a voice in your head. So this is always what we are talking about, right? That projection and the ego is projecting onto you. And the ego is world-weary, hard, whatever it is, right? It's talking about
cautious.
Itself.
Wow.
Yes. And so it's cautious. And so it's projecting that the identity is projecting onto you. And if I identify with that, then I own those qualities. And when I project authenticity onto somebody, I give those qualities away to someone else. But everything's going on here. It's either life qualities that of authenticity are being experienced and projected, or ego qualities are being projected onto me that I own. In both cases, it's good information to know that that's what's going on.
Okay? Yeah.
And so what we get to is, okay, this person...
May I ask a question?
Absolutely, go ahead.
Yeah, right now the thought that came in, well, two things. One is I absolutely love going there so I can engage with her. Absolutely love
yes.
it. And which resonates with something you were just saying, that I'm actually experiencing something in myself that now what I'm thinking I don't get to experience as much as I'd like to.
Exactly, because attention is on the conditioned conversation
goodness.
About who you are not, right? By defining who you are.
The
and
other
so
thing around
think,
that, though, that I'm thinking or a thought is thinking, but I don't normally feel that way with people, most people I engage with, so that's why it's so compelling for me with her.
Yes, and so then you notice all that. As an awareness practitioner, you now pick up the recorder and you talk about that sweetness, that gentleness, that softness that you experience and as qualities. And then when you listen to them, you'll feel sweetness and compassion and gentleness as you listen to that recording. And that trains you to go to those places in you more often than you would go to a conversation about world-weary and cautious. Because you're listening to that conversation more often than you're able to locate sweetness and gentleness in yourself, because attention's not trained there for you.
This is so powerful. Thank you. I'm getting it. I hear you.
Good. Excellent.
And
excellent.
You know, immediately I am very familiar with the voices of conditioning. Spent a lot of years and still do with them. And before the call got connected and I was seeing this, a voice then told me when I was thinking about her, quote, qualities, it said, well, that train has left the station for you, and what's underneath that is, you're at this point. No, it's kind of you're not going to be able to get to that. You're not going to have that. That was a long time ago. She's 30 years younger than you, and what came up underneath that for me was this deep sadness, in that I've gone through a lot of my life with the cautious. World weary, what's wrong, seeing really easily what's wrong with things kind of person.
Yes. Well, two things about that, right? One is, and this is what we do in practice, a lot of the conversation with Aaron before, is we notice what the mechanics of conditioning are, right? So the mechanics of conditioning are, you're in this moment, you're excited about this insight, And what it does in seeing this woman is to tell you what you're not, right, through a process of comparison.
Yes.
Then through a process of self-hate, which is what that voice is, it says it's too late for you to do that,
yes.
Right? You're having the moment, the experience of gentleness, softness, innocence in this moment. That's your experience. Whether you're in her presence or you're thinking about her in this moment,
oh.
You're going to your experience of sweetness, gentleness, and compassion, and the voice in the head comes up to say, oh, you know, it's too late for you. You're having the experience right now.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's what it does, right? It wants to take you out of your experience of the moment and tell you that you can never have the experience so that you'll feel sad. And
it robs us of our very life. It takes it. It just takes it in a nanosecond. It snaps it. It grabs
That's
it.
Right.
It grabs it.
Yes. Yeah. And so now you're sad. You're a weary person who's gone through life in this way, which is the other thing, right? If we could, as Sherry says, if we could think back on our past and make a difference in our past, we should all go back to thinking about our past. But you know, in this moment, you can be open, sweet, soft, gentle, whatever you choose to be.
Wow.
Right?
Yes.
But what the conversation wants your attention on is, oh, well, it's all about age. You have no time left in the world. Softness and gentleness and openness is only available to 18-somethings or the other, or 30-somethings or the other. It's not available to you.
Mm.
Right? And
yeah.
So our choice of being present and accessing any quality of life in any moment is we're robbed of.
Yes.
Because we fall for it, right? Oh my God, I'm going to be so sad and this person is so world weary. Yes, there's someone who's been through a lot, but that doesn't mean that there is no access to all of her that was
mm-hmm.
always her. Because life is all that she is, and life is always sweet and fresh and kind in every moment.
Thank you. Thank you. More than I can say.
You're most welcome.
Gotcha.
All right. Gotcha. Thanks, Bree.
Thanks for joining us, Bree. And I loved that conversation, Ashwini, because it brings a freshness to this moment that the voices are desperately trying to take away, and not only taking away this moment, but trying to paint a picture of an awful future going forward. And yet it's possible by bringing our attention to be here and have the innocence and the joy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes, we were looking at it in the morning show too, you know, that ability that's constantly taken away from us to bring, I think it was someone who was talking about blue waves on the beach. When we consciously think of that, it's in this moment that freshness and that the beauty gets brought into conscious awareness, and we can have an experience of that.
Yes, yes, exactly. And we have another caller here, Ashwini.
Great.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, it's Jane in Colorado.
Hi, Jane.
Hey, Jane.
Hi, thanks so much for being there, and so we can be here. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I am in the middle of a health challenge,
mm-hmm.
and the first thing I want to say is that practice works. It is
mm-hmm.
amazing how little suffering I am experiencing because of awareness practice. So thank you, entire Sangha, for being here with me as I traverse this rocky road.
Yes, and I would say, right, Jane, deep gassho to you for practicing, because the practice is only available if you practice.
Yes, thank you.
Yes.
Thank you. Yes, thank you. That's one of the lessons I'm learning is more gratitude and appreciation for this amazing practice warrior. So, yeah,
because
thank you.
Because it is those places where life becomes really, really challenging, right, that we practice for.
Yes, yes. And that is clearly been my experience, Ashwini, that it's like, yeah, no, I know how to do this. Yeah, yeah. It's pretty eye-opening that I have been meditating for so long and so dedicated to the practice and have spent such a small amount of time with myself. It's really quite amazing, but I'm connecting with myself in a different way. And so it feels like I'm being more here, but sometimes I'm like, ooh, here. You know, you were both just talking about, you know, like connecting with the joy. And sometimes it's hard to find the joy when you have hard circumstances. Does that make sense? I mean, I know it's there, but I'm happy. Yeah.
So tell me a little bit more about what it feels like when you can't find the joy. Say more about your experience there. Are you having physical sensations?
Okay.
Are you hearing a conversation? Like, what is going on for you?
Well, it's definitely some voices, you know, saying something along the lines of, you can't be happy. Do you know what you have? You know, you know, like coming back to this, you know, life-threatening illness thing. And I'm a seven. I'm a big seven. So I, you know, I'm used to a high level of joy. So I think part of it is this is my new normal is a more, not sedated, but, you know, just a gentler, smoother, milder joy. That's really good to say that out loud. Thank you. Thank you for that.
Yeah. Well, what I heard you say, go ahead.
Well, most of the time there's nothing wrong. It's just that this isn't the life that I had and I don't want this one. But there's nothing wrong, you know, so yeah.
Yes.
So,
well, two things that dropped in when you said that, right, Jane? One is I project that it's the same comparison process that we were talking about with Bree. That part of what conditioning does is how it creates the suffering is by comparing two things, as if those two things, one of them is real, right? Well, you have one particular experience of life. Well, you're not having that experience of life now, and usually that goes to there's something wrong with that. So there's the subtext that you should be feeling more joyful. But the joy that you had access to previously is not something that you have access to now. And I guess I project what you're getting to is exactly what you said, which is, well, I am here now with my experience now, and it feels joyful in this particular way, and that's what I am calibrating to now. And that's
that's so helpful because just being reminded that when anything is ever compared, it's conditioning. One of the things that I am wanting to let go of is expectations. And just knowing that, that's going to help with expectations, don't you think?
Yes. Well, and what are expectations? It's a comparison of what's wrong now with how it's going to be later.
Exactly. I'm so glad this is recording. That was brilliant.
Right?
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Yeah.
Well, and I don't know if this is your experience, Jane, but I think you're saying that, right? That to me, we don't have to suffer. We don't ever have to suffer, which basically means we don't need to be in a conversation with conditioned mind. And that has certain tones to it, right? But I can be in a place of absolute anguish, which doesn't feel like a place of absolute joy. Those are labels for energy in my body if I'm present to them. I mean, there's nothing other than conditioning that says you have to have a universal feeling throughout your existence.
Are you sure? Yeah, no, that's exactly right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, there at least this is my experience, is some people have this bouncy energy around them, and some people don't. That doesn't mean that their quality of joy is necessarily, or their experience of joy is necessarily different. If we define joy as whatever flavor of life there is if I'm not listening to voice in my head.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, joy, yeah, conditioning has defined joy very narrowly.
Yes, exactly so. Yes, and then, and it can yes. get you, right? Because you have
Absolutely.
Sort of, you're conditioned with having beliefs and assumptions around whatever joy feels like and how much energy in your body is used to be or is normal and that you're not feeling that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Great.
Yeah.
Thanks for that
yeah.
information. I'm happy this way. And not even that
yeah.
I'm happy, because happy has such a loaded, I mean, it's such a loaded word, because happy has also been taken over by conditioning to mean bubbly and ha-ha. And how about contentment
yes.
or satisfaction? You know, I'll do anything to be contented and satisfied over necessarily happy.
Yes, and this is so helpful to just wake up about the labels, because
yes.
this is very challenging, and one of my family members is depressed, and so what does that mean? What does that mean that, you know, conditioning puts so much stuff on defining what that is, and it's like, no, let's just hang out with this here for a minute. Yeah.
Yes. Yes, let me be with the challenge, not let me find something wrong with challenge. Because challenge is going
yeah.
to be there. It's what it is. Even if that's a label,
yeah.
there's a way in which I am pointing to a certain experience, which might be difficulty. And the only thing the human being needs in that moment is someone to hold her hand when she's going through that, not a self-hating voice that says, oh, my God, I'd rather not have this life, and let's bail, or, you know, let's drum our
yeah.
finger, drum
yeah.
our fist, or whatever it is, right? Or what do we have to do about it?
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Okay, I'm on to it.
All right, and keep in touch.
Thank you. Thank you
so much. We're all here for you, Jane.
Thank you. I can feel it. Thank you. Deep bow.
Take care.
Thanks for joining us, Jane. Ashwini, it was interesting to me to see in that conversation how conditioning defines joy so narrowly, and the
mm-hmm.
standards that are held for how I need to feel to be the right person. It's just ridiculous.
It is. It completely is. And not. It's only ridiculous when we are not believing it, right? Because
yes. yes.
It's the most painful place in the world.
Yes. Yes, very true. Very true. And we have time for at least one more caller here, Ashwini.
Wonderful. Thanks, Michael.
Sure. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, it's Anna from Seattle.
Hi, Anna.
Hi, Anna.
Hi. Hi, I'm kind of in the process of suffering a little suffering.
Uh-huh.
just about work. I work as a nanny, and if
sorry, Anna, did you say I work as a nanny?
Yeah.
Uh-huh, okay.
Yes, I do. And there are just, when I get to work, there are a lot of emotions and a lot of, like, energy within the family. The family dynamics are kind of difficult.
Uh-huh.
And I've always had that story, which feels really, really real, and I think it is real. I really believe it, that I'm really sensitive to energy, and I basically absorb it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but not just of one person, but of everybody, and then it's
uh-huh.
just almost overwhelming to me, and I have a story, or I feel resentment, you know, and anger, because I just don't want to feel that. And I don't want to do that because it's really kind of exhausting to always feel that. But on the other hand, of course, I want to be loving, and I am, you know, to the best of my ability. But I just am struggling a little bit with that resentment and the anger that I don't want to. Basically, the family dynamics are a little bit similar than how I grew up, just a mom.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. So it's a great opportunity for me to be loving, and finding love, and being there for the children when I'm basically in a place where it's hard. And then.
So let me see if I'm tracking, right, Anna, because there are a whole bunch of things that you said that are going on. So there's the dynamic of the family, which is challenging, and what you have is what you project as a story is that you're sensitive to energy, and if you're in this dynamic, you absorb the energy. And part of what you're experiencing is a resentment of the situation because it affects you. And you don't have a choice other than be part of this family dynamic because you're the nanny in the family. So there's a way in which there's a resentment of the situation, not necessarily of the people or anything, but just simply, why do I have to be in this dynamic which affects me so? And there's a standard of expectation of how you have to be in that family because you feel empathetic towards the kids having been through that experience for yourself.
Yeah.
Well, that's a lot, isn't it?
And
right? There's a lot of feeling and sensations and emotions, which I project is coming up as a result of all of the beliefs and assumptions and messages and conditioning that are going on in your head about the whole thing. Would you say?
Yeah, and also I feel like I do process the feelings with the children all day long, and then but every time, you know, one second the parents are there and it's all messed up again, you know. So every day it's over and over. That's another story maybe, but that's what it feels. I mean, that feels true to me.
Well, and what do you do to support yourself, right, Anna? Because at the end of the day, you know, you have been through a place where you're trying to be centered all the time and you're trying to have your attention on love and understanding and empathy. At the end of the day, that is that you're experiencing tiredness. And so do you do the two-handed recording exercise for the person who's been through this day and needs to be comforted or heard or just help them?
Yeah, I don't do it every day. I have done it. I don't do it super regularly, but
Well, and maybe even throughout the day, right, to support yourself, because every time you recognize that resentment arising, it could be a clue that someone is there being tortured by messages from the from conditioning, and there's a reaction there, that clue that you need to take care of yourself a little bit, that you need to go out and whoever's there needs to be talked with and talked to and supported before you go back into the situation that's clearly challenging for somebody.
Yeah. I do that. I mean, I do energy exercises pretty much all day.
And the resentment
towards the mom is kind of almost the biggest issue, I think.
And have you explored that in a 200 recording exercise? Like, what is behind that resentment?
I probably have. I don't remember it at the moment, but I understand she does her best, I understand, and she just doesn't have more awareness about maybe her emotional unawareness.
Mm-hmm,
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And understanding it at one level. So here's a something to explore, right? As an awareness practitioner, you can have compassion for the situation. You can have compassion for the person. You can have empathy for the kids, right? That when from a centered place, you can hold all of this in conscious awareness. But that doesn't mean that there's something that is an aspect of you that shows up in those situations that doesn't feel that or doesn't understand that and probably needs some exploration.
Yeah.
What is that? What is it? It becomes, we want to bring into conscious, compassionate awareness what is unacceptable in you that reacts, what is considered by the voices that's unacceptable in you that hasn't been embraced in conscious awareness that needs to be brought into conscious awareness around it, around this dynamic. Because you said, I'm projecting wildly here, but you had that similar relationship with your mother. And so this probably triggers something for you. And you might want to explore what the voices are saying, not at the first level of self-hate, but underneath that message lands. And it's like, what is really going on here? Do I feel frustrated that I don't have control? Do I feel sad? Am I disappointed? What is really going on for me here that I want to take care of?
I think I don't accept the resentment. And I'm going to look at it a bit more.
Powerful insight. That is the first place, right? That the resentment is judged. So I accept that there is resentment here. Let me look at it. There's nothing wrong with that resentment, right? First, get to the place where there's conscious, compassionate acceptance of the resentment, from which you can bring whatever is underneath it into acceptance.
I know we're at time. Yeah, the resentment. Yeah, that's great if I can bring that into acceptance, because I don't think my mom ever did, and.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I probably need to do that.
It, right, that this conversation allowed us to process to that place, which is what the 200 recording exercise goes. Well, that's really it. The place I really need to look at is the acceptance of the resentment. Wonderful. Pick up the recorder.
Great. Okay. Okay. Thank you. Thank you very
Thanks,
much.
Thanks, Donna. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Anna. Ashwini, I had exactly the same reaction that in processing that, in bringing it out there, it brings it into awareness, and then the next step becomes visible and obvious.
Yes.
It's great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's the facilitation, not almost the self-facilitation, because the awareness has to arise in whoever it is that's looking at it, right? It's just a lovely place that everybody knows what the next step is for them.
Yes. Wonderful. And we are at time here, and so thank you, Ashwini, for being with us tonight. It's wonderful.
Thanks, Michael.
All right. Take care.
Take care.
Good night.